It's my joy to challenge our graduates today, and I do so from a text found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 32 through verse 45. Mark 10, 32 through 45. Now, as they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those who, for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know, those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. When it comes to following Jesus, many of us must acknowledge that sometimes we fall into the class of being a slow learner. In particular, we struggle with the basic biblical truth that servanthood is the way of spiritual greatness, and that the cross always comes before the crown. That indeed we're never more like the Savior than when we are servants. We should not become too quickly discouraged at this, for the simple fact is those who first walked with Jesus struggled with this same truth. And this particular text helps us understand that this malady accompanied them all the way to Jerusalem. They just didn't get it. That Jesus turns the ideals and the structures of this world on their head and says greatness is found in being a servant. And greatness is found in being a slave of all. In Mark chapter 10, you come to a third and climactic teaching of Jesus, both on his death, his passion, and also discipleship and what it means to be a servant. And this morning, I want to quickly share with this graduating class and also these that are here supporting them several basic truths from this text that we must consider carefully. If we're indeed going to be sent to serve like the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, you must consider the cost of being a servant. The text begins that they're on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus is out ahead leading them. He has set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem and to die on the cross for the sins of the world. The text says that those that are going with him do not have a clue about what is taking place. They are amazed, and they're also afraid. And so Jesus takes the 12 aside, and he now gives them the most detailed and specific prediction of his passion found in the Gospels. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They're going to condemn him to death, deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him, scourge him, spit on him, and kill him. But the third day, he will rise again. But you must count the cost of being a servant, for you see, there will be misunderstanding. Just like these that are with Jesus did not understand what he was doing, where he was going, some of you will likewise be misunderstood. It is perhaps true today for some of you that there are family members here who scratch their head They cannot quite figure out why you're going to be leaving in a few months to go to the other ends of the earth and put your life on the line for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, they are somewhat taken by your courage, but they do question your judgment. But then again, for those of us who have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we operate by a very simple premise, don't we? All that matters in life is that we please Jesus. Others may not get it. Others may misunderstand. But we understand that just like His Son, God has a plan. God has a purpose for each one of our lives down to the last detail and to the very last breath that we will ever breathe. But we must count the cost of being a servant. Sometimes it involves serious misunderstanding. Secondly, you must also consider the challenge to being a servant. You see, being a servant goes against our human inclinations. Especially those who have gone through the rigorous training that you have, obviously you've been trained to lead. And so when you've been trained to lead, sometimes it becomes a little bit difficult to factor in the fact that I'm also being trained to serve. And even the old sin nature that's been dealt a death blow is still within us, stirring up within our minds the thought that, you know, God really does take care of those who take care of themselves. Just enough truth to seduce us and just enough heresy to sidetrack us. Again, don't become too quickly discouraged because the first disciples suffered from this same ailment. It says in verse 35, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" Just like children trying to trick a parent into acquiescing to their request before it is made. Jesus does not fall for their trick and simply says, "Well, first of all, let's clarify, what do you want me to do for you?" And they simply respond, and their words tell us they have not heard a word that has just come out of His mouth. He has told them in verse 33 and 34, He is going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And yet, what do they say? "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Do you see the disconnect between what He has said His calling is and what they wish to achieve for themselves? Jesus is very kind at this point, very gracious. He does not chastise them so much as He tries again to instruct them, and He simply says, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Two powerful metaphors that talk about the cup of suffering and the baptism, the immersion into His passion, His scourging, His death upon the cross, and all that that would entail. Again, their response reveals they are still not getting it. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. Again, sometimes we're confronted with biblical truth that's right before our eyes, and it's amazing how we seem to just turn away from it and not hear what is being said. They simply respond, "We are able." We're not really sure what the baptism metaphor means and what this idea of drinking a cup means, but whatever it is, we're able to do it too, Lord. And Jesus, again, graciously, but straightforwardly, informs them that there will be a cup and a baptism for them. "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized." And of course, we know James would be martyred. John would be exiled to Patmos in his old age. And you see, again, I don't know what God's plan and purpose is for you. It's not the same as it is for me. But there is a challenge to being a servant. It does go against our human inclinations. We can get caught up too quickly in the thinking of the world and the way of the world, thinking that prestige and position and prominence is the way to spiritual greatness. And Jesus would say, "That's not the way I do it. That's not the way God's kingdom works." So you must consider the cost of being a servant. You must consider the challenge of being a servant. But thirdly, you must consider the conflict in being a servant. Verse 41, "Now when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John." I suspect that their displeasure is not because they're more spiritual, but because they were stupid. They were slow. They're kind of looking at each other and asking, why didn't we think of this first? And I suspect that Peter, who was one of the inner three, was really hot under the collar, understanding that when everything is said and done, blood is thicker than water. And if someone's going to be cut out of the deal, it would be Peter, not James or John. And so they're angry, and they're mad. And Jesus again recognizes this is a great teachable moment. And so what does he do? He calls them to himself and says, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. And those of you that travail through the language of Greek would be blessed to know that it is a form of the word katakurios. And you know that the preposition kata means down, and kurios means lord. And though I am very much aware of the fact that one can commit an etymological fallacy, you put the word together, it does have a pretty good word picture of those who just lord it down over others. I'm on top, I'm above you, you're under my thumb, and I push and squeeze and push you in any direction that I deem you need to go. And Jesus says, look, that's exactly how the Gentiles do it. They lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. In other words, in the ways of the world, those who are great give the orders. Those who are great have others waiting on them. But Jesus says, in God's kingdom, those who are great, they wait on others. And those who are great, they serve others. And just in case you're not sure what he is talking about, he is very specific in what he wishes for them to understand. It shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great shall be your diakonos, your servant, your table waiter. And whoever of you desires to be first, he shall be a slave, a doulos of all. And so Jesus takes the value system of the world and he turns it on its head. And he says, you must say no to the ways of the world. And incredibly, can you believe it? With your bachelor's degree, your master's degree, your doctor's degree, Jesus says you need to say yes to the work of a slave. That's not the way other graduation ceremonies are taking place at this particular time of the year. Others are being challenged to go out and make a name for themselves, to niche out a reputation for themselves, to find an avenue that will lead them to greater prestige and power and success and notoriety. And Jesus says, God is looking for slaves. And so the Bible says you must consider the conflict in being a servant. But then finally, the text also says you must consider Christ when being a servant. One of the greatest gospel verses in all the Bible is found here in verse 45. And let me say this very quickly. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, this graduating class prayed for you yesterday. And in praying for you, I voiced a prayer that I heard across the auditorium, the affirmation from student after student, whereby we basically said, if it would today be the day that you would say yes to Jesus Christ, they would gladly lay their diploma down on the ground and leave it here and walk away at the joy of knowing that their dad, their mom, their brother, their sister, a dear friend, today at this graduation ceremony, had made the greatest decision a person will ever make in all of life, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Why did Jesus Christ come to this world? Verse 45 tells you, listen to it, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. How? By giving his life as a ransom, as a payment for many. In other words, Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you. Jesus Christ came into this world because he loves you. Jesus Christ indeed has such compassion and love and concern just for you, he would have come and died had you been the only sinner in need of salvation. That's how great is his love for you. And so in just a moment, I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I'm going to invite you today, though this may not have been on your mind, I'm sure it wasn't. But I'm going to invite you in just a moment, if you're here today and you're not saved, to make that greatest of all decisions and to say yes to Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But yet for those who are graduating today, what is it that we learn from verse 45? Can we atone for the sins of the world? No. Can we give our life as a ransom for many? No. But just like our Savior laid down his life for others, so can we. Young men and women, you are never more like Jesus than when you are serving and giving your life for others. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment and close our eyes. And today, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you right now to consider what he has done for you. And if you in your heart know, I do need to be saved. I didn't come here today to be saved. I came here to see someone I love graduate. But God has spoken to my heart. And I now understand really for the first time what my son, my daughter, my friend has been saying to me so long about this wonderful Savior whose name is Jesus. I'm going to voice a prayer right now. I just invite you to pray it in your heart. And I can promise you this day, on the authority of God's Word, you pray this prayer, God who's in heaven will hear your prayer. He will answer it, and he will save you. Just pray this prayer in your heart right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you love me, and that you came into this world and died on the cross for my sins. I confess and acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have done things wrong. I need to be saved. I need to be reconciled with you. Today, I turn from my sin and I put my faith completely and totally in what Jesus Christ did for me when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And I this day trust you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I'm going to ask at this time that David Jones would come and lead us in our prayer of dedication, that he would appropriately close this time of instruction from God's Word, also challenging us and challenging our graduates to leave this place today and indeed serve as God sends us. David, you come.